Good morning, church. Before service, I was catching up with Jensen. And he said, I must be so busy in the summer with family and kids around. But some of you may remember, for the past 2 weeks, I've been reliving the bachelor life. Gloria and the kids are away in Hong Kong, so it's just been me, myself. And some of you know that not even in 24 hours after they left, I went to a church meeting at night and then went to catch a 10 p.m. IMAX show after the church meeting. And when I'm home, no one's asking what's for dinner. No last-minute grocery runs for me, no bedtime routines to do. I had the TV and the gaming all to myself. And at night, it's just stillness and a kind of silence that I need to get used to. And honestly, I thought I'd enjoy this break. I figured I'd catch up on cleaning the house, maybe tidy up the garage, even get ahead with sermon preparation. Sadly, the last one didn't really happen. But I've also been deeply blessed because many of you have invited me into your homes, to your tables, from home-cooked meals to trying out new restaurants, many coffee spots and bubble tea. You welcomed me, and every time I felt grateful for the company. And I also felt something else, a quiet question I ask, am I taking up your space? Am I taking up someone else's time? But every time you let me know that I'm welcomed, I'm fully received. So these past 2 weeks, I'm reminded how it feels like to be alone. Not just the absence of people, but there's a deeper kind of aloneness, emotional, disconnected, unseen. Sometimes it feels like watching other people live their lives from a distance. Like everyone else had a place, and you're just by yourself, outside, hoping to catch a glimpse. And in today's passage, that's where Zacchaeus is, in a tree, by himself. The story begins with a man who's alone, not just physically, but socially, emotionally, spiritually. This is a story about being unseen, but also about being invited to come down from hiding and welcoming Jesus into our homes. So let's pray before we begin. Lord Jesus, you see us, you call us by name, you must stay with us. And as we open your word again, call to us again from where we might be hiding. Speak into our silence and our aches. By your Spirit, let your words not just be listened with our ears, but welcomed gladly into our hearts. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. In the Gospel of Luke, by the time we reach Luke chapter 19, Jesus is nearing the end of his journey to Jerusalem, a journey that began all the way back in chapter 9. And now, at his final stop before entering Jerusalem, he's passing through Jericho. Jericho is only 20 kilometers away from Jerusalem. So it's here, in this final stretch, that we meet Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is introduced as a chief tax collector. That might mean he had others working under him, or simply that he'd been doing this for a long time. Either way, the source of a tax collector's wealth was no secret. It came from collaborating with Rome, the oppressors, and profiting off their own people. So Zacchaeus would have been seen as a sellout, and he would have been despised by everyone, by his own people. But note that Luke also tells us that he was wealthy, and he makes a point to list that separately. See, just one chapter ago, in Luke chapter 18, Jesus had an encounter with another rich man, a young ruler who had everything. And when Jesus asked him to sell everything to follow him, the man walked away sad. And that's when Jesus said, "How hard it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." But yet, there's also a twist in Luke's gospel. Tax collectors have often been cast in a surprisingly positive light. They came to John the Baptist to be baptized. One of them, Levi, left everything to follow Jesus. Multiple times, they've gathered together to hear Jesus teach. And people would insult Jesus by calling him a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And even in chapter 18 again, one chapter ago, in the parable of prayer, it was the tax collector, not the religious leader, who left the temple justified by God. And so here is Zacchaeus, wealthy, a tax collector who has power and money. He's known and visible, but he's despised and excluded. He is rich but alone. And maybe that's why he's desperate. Maybe that's why he's ready for Jesus. And so we read, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Not just see Jesus, but find out who he is. Something in Zacchaeus wants to know, wants to understand who this person really is. But that's a problem for him. Luke tells us Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus. Yes, because he was short, but also because of the crowd. It's not merely a physical limitation. It's a social one. The crowd didn't just happen to be in the way. They probably kept him out of being able to see. And we know the crowd isn't neutral, because when we get to verse 7, we'll read how deeply they resent Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus climbs a sycamore fig tree. It's a very practical solution. He wants a better view. He climbs up so he can see. But climbing up there, we sense that Zacchaeus is an outsider. He wants to see Jesus, but instead of making his way through the crowd to get close, he chooses to climb up to watch from a distance, just high enough to see and to stay out of reach. He remains unseen, not to trouble anyone, and not expecting anyone to bother with him. And I want to name this the reality that many of us face in the world today. We live in a time when more and more people are isolated. Sociologists have called this a loneliness epidemic. People move through life emotionally cut off, relationally invisible. And many reports and articles over the years describe our city, Vancouver, as a hard place to make friends. Our neighborhood connections, they're cordial, but shallow. participation in community life is declining. And all of this had been happening before COVID, and the pandemic only made things worse. And people are expressing, naming a deeper ache in them. Going to work, going to school, even going to church, like no one sees them. Like everyone else around them had a belonging, but they're on the outside, quietly hoping for connection. And in time, this slowly develops into an instinct to climb up a tree, to hide, to remain unseen. This is what Zacchaeus is doing. He climbs the tree so as not to be seen. When you've been rejected and excluded enough, you learn to disappear. You learn to stay out of reach. And here's the thing. People go through life like this, still functioning. They can succeed in school, in work. They can even serve God. But the real person, the vulnerable person, stays hidden and at a distance. Zacchaeus climbs a tree, but for many people, this tree can be something else that keeps us hidden. For some people, the tree is busyness, packed schedules, full calendars, constant motion. If I'm always doing something, no one will stop long enough to ask how I'm really doing. I can say I'm busy and get on with life. And maybe I don't have to ask myself. For some people, the tree is intellectual. Sometimes even in theology. We know how to lead good discussions. We quote the right scriptures. We have all the right answers. But sometimes, all that thinking is, as my professor would say, it's just living inside of our heads to stay away from the emotional work needed in the hearts. There are others who climb up the tree of achievements, always striving, trying to prove that they matter. And for some, the tree is a carefully managed image. They look composed, competent, even funny or carefree, impressive by many standards. But they know deep down, they play it safe so as to maintain a distance. None of these things are fundamentally bad. But if they become places of hiding, that's the issue. From the outside, everything looks fine, but inside, we're hoping someone to stop by, to look up, and to call us by name. And Zacchaeus is in the tree, trying to look ahead for Jesus. So Jesus walks right up to that spot. He stops at the tree. He looks up, he sees him, and he knows this person who's been excluded, unseen, and alone. And Jesus calls him by name. Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm staying at your place today. See, Jesus doesn't wait for an invitation. He invites himself. I must stay at your house. Not if you're open to it. He said he must. Right there, right at the moment. In the place where Zacchaeus is. In the place, in this home, where he might be ashamed to have anyone over. And that is before any apology, any change in Zacchaeus' life. Before Zacchaeus even says a word, Jesus sees him, Jesus knows him, and Jesus chooses him. And in that moment, the man who had climbed to stay hidden is found. He is now being called by Jesus to come down, not just from a tree, but from a place he's been hiding. No conditions, and he's not worthy of it. But this person, this Jesus, whom everyone is following and looking for, is coming to his house and staying with him. That's why grace takes initiative. Jesus makes the first move, and Zacchaeus responds and receives with joy. He hurries down and welcomes Jesus to his home. However, not everyone is happy. In verse 7, we read that the crowd grumbles. They've seen the whole thing happen in front of them. Zacchaeus up there in the tree, Jesus stopping at the tree, calling to him, and then him climbing down and joyfully welcoming Jesus. But these people, they are not celebrating this. They are upset and muttering. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. In their eyes, Zacchaeus is the sinner. He hurts people. He's gained his wealth from injustice. He should be the last person Jesus should be staying with. And this is what Luke points out to us. He says, all the people muttered, grumbled. So the question we ask is not just what would Jesus do? We've seen what Jesus does. The question here for all the people, for us, is what would we do? Will we stand in the crowd, judging from a distance how grace approaches someone in sin who we think doesn't deserve it? Or will we judge the joy on this person's face because they shouldn't be this happy? Will we grumble when Jesus walks past us and goes to a place that we would never step into? Or can we celebrate? Can we make space in the crowd, in this crowd, so that someone else can see Jesus? Can we be the kind of church where those who've been hiding feel safe to come down? Can we receive Jesus when he says, I must stay at your house? See, we are the crowd. Jesus is still looking for the lost, even the ones that have been written off by others. And sometimes they've written themselves off. But Jesus is saying, I must stay with you. And in verse 10, Jesus gives the whole reason. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's what he's doing in Jericho. He came down from Galilee to Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. He sees the one who has climbed up the tree, who was feeling alone, and Jesus calls them by name. He must stay with them. And so I ask the same question as in the previous two sermons. Where do I see myself in this story? Am I up in a tree, watching from a distance, afraid to be seen? Or am I in the crowd, keeping someone away, quietly judging what Jesus is doing? Or am I ready to come down from hiding, to open my doors and welcome Jesus into my home? This story is about being seen by Jesus, being invited by Jesus to come down and stop hiding, and welcoming him into our homes with gladness. And as we come to the end of the series, this three-part series, we've spent time in three different houses. There's Mary and Martha's home, where Jesus reminded us to sit down and be present. There's the crowded house with the paralyzed man, where Jesus responded to those who dare to be let down. And today in Zacchaeus' home, Jesus chose to stay at someone who's hiding. Three houses, three different moments of encounter with Jesus. And now I'd like to invite us to open up our houses. And I want to call this, "Are you down for dinner?" I want to invite us to gather with one another to consider doing a dinner, maybe in the coming summer weeks. It's nothing complicated, just a table, food, and some time to share. And maybe during dessert or when you've cleaned up, allow time, set apart time. Spend some time to share one way you've needed to sit down, to be let down, or to come down. And then there's no need to give solutions or to fix the problem. Just pray for one another. Just spend and set apart time to do that. I know, I imagine this. It might feel awkward, right? But it's okay. And if it helps, try to prepare ahead of time if you are gathering. And ask Jesus, "How have I been distracted? Where am I paralyzed? And where am I hiding and needing to come down?" We've spent the past 3 weeks encountering Jesus, hearing these stories. And I'd like to invite you to open your homes with one another and welcome Jesus together, who calls us by name, who forgives us, and who stays with us. Amen.